Hey, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today, we're going to keep going on this series about the evidence for the divine inspiration of the Bible. And again, we're talking about evidence that shows that the Bible was written by God through the mouths and hands of men. Okay? Inspired by God. And again, we're talking about prophecies that are accurate. They are precise. God gets it right every time. He's not vague. Sometimes he can be vague, especially in matters of like messianic prophecies where God wants to make sure we see that he wrote it down beforehand, but he needed to make sure that Jesus was able to fulfill his mission on this planet with a little bit of a cloak of cover while he was here, so that he could come here as God and be put on a cross and die for our sins as a sacrifice to cover us, to sacrifice himself as a lamb for us. Anyway, I love that. Yes, so there are some prophecies that are a little veiled, a little bit elusive, but that was one of those things where God was kind of saying, look, I told you before, but I didn't want you to see it until my son Jesus was able to fulfill what he had come to do. Anyway, I'm rambling on. I love this subject, guys. I love this stuff. God's word is accurate. All right, so let's look at one today. We're just going to look at one prophecy. This is going to be complicated. Remember back when we did that in Daniel chapter 9, 25, messianic prophecy about basically 173,880 days from the issuing of a decree to rebuild the temple, going on to the Messiah being revealed as the prince, the king. And basically, Daniel had predicted the exact day that Jesus would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. Well, this one is in that same vein. In fact, there's going to be some math that is identical to what we did. You know, we're going to have that whole 360-day year math thing that I mentioned. Same idea. So we're going to do some math today. So hold on to your seats. Maybe go fetch a pen and paper so that you can do this yourself and see that it works out. And let's read Ezekiel chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. It says this, and this was written somewhere around 571 BC-ish, okay? It says, moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan and set it for a wall. This is so bizarre. Set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. Okay, so Ezekiel's laying on his side. He's got this pan, and he's laying siege to it. I mean, you can almost imagine him sitting there on his side, and it's almost like he's playing cowboys and Indians. He's got these little, you know, pans set up, and it's almost like he's got toys laying siege against a pan. All right. Let me read on. Verse 4. Lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. Okay, at this point you're thinking, this sounds pretty vague, Bohm. Okay, just hang with me. Verse 5. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days, so shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. Okay. Remember last time when we talked about the 69 weeks, and each week was to represent 7 years, you know, 7 days in a week, 7 years. Well, we have that same theme here. We have 390 days and 40 days. And then he says right at the end, I have appointed thee each day for a year. All right. So we've got Judah being, and Israel being laid siege to, you know, the pan, and it's being besieged. All right. 390 days and 40 days. So we have here a prophecy that Israel will be punished for a combined period of 430 years, right? Okay, we have the 390 days plus the 40 days. Okay, so this is about to get a little complicated. You have the year 536 BC. I mentioned this yesterday. 536 BC is when this captivity, this exile began, right? We know this for a fact, okay? But then, remember we looked at Jeremiah 25:11. Well, this captivity only lasted 70 years. So 70 years from 536, they had basically 70 years of their captivity knocked off, right? You guys with me so far? Their punishment was only 70 years. But Ezekiel says here it's 430 years. So that doesn't quite work. Jeremiah got it right. But why is Ezekiel saying this whole 430 years of punishment thing? All right? Doesn't this seem a little fishy? Why is this happening? At first glance, you're almost thinking this is a failed prophecy. And some people have even argued for that. But let's look a little closer. After the 70 years only, if you remember my Through the Bible in 5 series, Ezra, that when we went through the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, only a small handful of people actually returned to Jerusalem after the captivity, right? And as we went through those books, you'll notice that not very many people repented. There was really no national repentance that happened. And that is key. We'll come back to that in a second here. So not only did everybody not repent, but there was like 95% of these captives that just chose to stay in Babylon, to stay in captivity. Now, I want to point something out. We're going to take a little side road here. And at first, this is going to sound like it doesn't make sense. But I'm going to pull this all together, so hang with me. Follow closely, because this is confusing. In Leviticus chapter 26, verse 18, also in 26:21, and also in Leviticus 23 and 24. So, I'm sorry, 26, verse 23 and 24. So, this little stretch in Leviticus chapter 26, it's mentioned several times. Let me just read this. And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. Then he says in verse 21 again, if ye walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. And then he says again, and if ye will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then I will also walk contrary unto you and will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. So from these verses, we know that when God punishes you and you do not hear him, you refuse to repent, he'll punish you 7 times more according to your sins. All right. So let's take that concept, all right? Just hang with me, and let's apply it back to this Ezekiel prophecy. So they had 70 years of punishment, but God said they were going to get 430 years of punishment. You with me so far? Let's subtract 70 years from 430, and what we get is a remainder of punishment of 360 years. And so we've got this 360 years that doesn't quite make sense. Nothing happened of 430 years after 586. Nothing happened. So we have this 360 years where nothing really makes sense. Why did God screw this up? But then if you look at that concept, from Leviticus about that punishment being multiplied by seven. All right. Some people would say, well, that's just symbolic. Well, it might be, but why don't you check this out? If you multiply 360 years by seven, you get 2,520 years. You with me so far? The 360 was what punishment remained after the 70 years, according to Ezekiel. You multiply that by seven, you get 2,520. All right. Now, a couple days ago, when we looked at this Daniel 9:25, I mentioned that the Jewish year is 360 days. It's not 365.2 days like our Gregorian calendar that we go by, right? 360 days. All right. So if we were to look at this lunar cycle 360-day year, you multiply that by the 2,520 biblical years left of punishment now that God has multiplied it by seven. Okay, some of you have already fell off your chair and you're twitching on the floor. I hope you're following me here. Hopefully, you know, you might have to back this podcast up a little bit and write everything down and do the math for yourself. It works out. So 360-day years multiplied by 2,520 years of punishment, you end up with 907,200 days. So we have a 907,200-day period of punishment yet to be fulfilled, right? All right. Write that number down. Now, let's get even more complicated. If you convert that 907,200 days to our version of the 365.2, or rather 365 and a quarter days, years, we normally see a year as, right? We're going to convert this large number of days into our version of years, right? So that we can try to calculate what date this actually lands on. Like, when did this punishment actually end, right? That's what we're trying to figure out here. If this all works out, we should find something significant at the end of this period of punishment. Don't you think? Something really significant. All right? When you convert this to our 365.25-day year, right, the 365 and a quarter-day year that we follow, you end up with 2,483.8 years. I hope you're still following me. So, going all the way back, 536 BC, if you count forward, 2,483.8 years from 536, and we're talking about the springtime of 536 is when that decree was issued, right? You count 2,483.8 years forward, and don't forget to take year zero out, because from 1 BC to 1 AD, there's no zero year. You land on May 14th, 1948. Okay, some of you are giving me a blank stare, and some of you light bulbs are coming on, and some of you are jumping up and down and freaking out. This is May 14th, 1948. Guys, this is the day that the Jews proclaimed their independence and the state of Israel was reborn. Wow. All right, so yes, I did some serious gymnastics with math there. Yes, some people would say, okay, Boom, you stretched it on that one. If you think I stretched it, why don't you go back, play this podcast again with a pen and paper, and I want you to look at those Leviticus passages that I read with the promise to punish seven times more for sins. I want you to look at this Ezekiel prophecy. I want you to work it out on paper for yourself. And I want you to realize how amazing this really is. If it's a coincidence and I am doing major gymnastics with God's word, God forgive me. But guys, this is amazing. There is no way around that. That is amazing. Okay, I'm going to stop right here. Come out to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com, and leave comments and questions. You can also catch me on Facebook and Twitter. Guys, I love your questions. Your questions, not only do I get a chance to talk to you guys and answer stuff, but also it gives me ideas of what things you guys want to hear about, and it gives me ideas for future series. So with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.